Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Well, here's a question for you. Do you struggle with worry or anxious thoughts on a regular basis? Well, if you listen often enough, you know that worry actually used to be my middle name. You know, I really have worked hard to retrain my thoughts and to own the promises of God. And yet, you know, I still struggle from time to time. Maybe this is true for you as well. Well, today my guest is Dr. Winfred Neely, and we're going to talk today about his book, How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. And we've got three copies of How to Overcome Worry, so you can email throughout the show if you want in on the drawing. You know the drill. If you listen often enough, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And don't forget that mailing address. I'll get Dr. Neely on here in just a moment. A couple quick announcements for you first. We are gathering together, partnering with a Prayer Together movement, and we would love for you to join us during the week of June 27th to July 9th. Will you join us? Well, we're right in the midst of it, but you can still join us. We're going to appeal to God in heaven to pray for our nation. Join us by visiting our website, myfaithradio.com. You can sign up for these emails that will come every day just for with prayer focus. But then it culminates on Sunday, July 9th, which is coming up here, where we will all gather together in our prospective places. So wherever you are, whether you're up north or in your home at your office, we will gather together before the Lord and pray. Hope and pray that you will join us. That information is on our website at myfaithradio.com. Also, we're giving away Kay Warren's Choose Joy devotional, two copies every week for this month. You can sign up to win also on our website, myfaithradio.com. So the question really is, how do we overcome anxiety in a worry-filled world? I mean, there's legitimate reasons, it seems, to fear, to be anxious, yet the Bible does tell us not to be anxious. So how do we do that exactly? Well, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Winfred Neely is a professor of hermeneutics, homiletics, and pastoral studies at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. He serves as senior pastor of Judson Baptist Church in Oak Park, Illinois. He brings a global perspective to his ministry, having served as a missionary pastor in Senegal, West Africa, for 9 years. He's also involved in global equipping ministry, speaking and conducting workshops, training events at churches and conferences in the U.S. and abroad. And he and his wife have been married for more than 40 years. They have 4 adult children and 9 grandchildren. Dr. Neely is a busy man. Dr. Neely, thanks for joining us today.
Susie, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be on air with you.
Really glad to have you as well. And we love to start every conversation every day, Dr. Neely, talking scripture. I know you're a man who loves God's word. Do you either have a life verse or just one you've been pondering and thinking about these days that you can share with us?
Well, yes. I've been actually thinking about this verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Mm. And so I've been thinking and pondering that text of Scripture.
Tell me more about that. Just as I'm listening to you read that with such dignity, you know, there's an air about you. I mean, I've heard it 1,000 times, but I hear it afresh today. And you think about that, you know, our safest place is tucked under his wing, and he lifts us up in due time, and he cares about us. There's so much there.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, the text says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, which highlights God's omnipotence, the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What I find interesting about this passage of Scripture is the idea that casting our anxieties on God is an expression of our humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety on him. And casting all of our anxiety on him is a part of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And I just find this text is really interesting because it suggests, and I say this thoughtfully and carefully, but it suggests that one of the reasons why we may be so worried is because of pride. not willing to humble ourselves before God and acknowledge to Him that we desperately need Him, that we don't have the wisdom to get through the situation, that we don't have the strength, that we don't have the power. And, you know, it's sometimes just, you know, we don't want to do that. And as a consequence of that, we don't cast our anxieties on Him. And I just find, and we usually don't think about anxiety as an expression of pride, but according to this text, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sure does speak of self-preservation, because so often we worry about things that we wish we could control that feel out of our control, but something really precious and powerful happens when we just confess and, you know, humble ourselves that we can't be in control. Even when we think we're in control, we're just absolutely not, which brings us back to humility, doesn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Well, I would love for you, Dr. Neely, to give us a little backstory on your faith journey, and specifically when that light bulb went on for you, when you really realized who Jesus was and who you are to Him.
Well, you know, that's a good question. I received Christ. I trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior when I was 19 years old. And I remember the night. And the Spirit of God convicted me, and I realized that I was lost for all eternity, and that if I died without Christ, I would be lost for all eternity. And in that moment, I turned to God in faith and trust and repentance, and I trusted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And I was utterly surprised and thrilled by what happened next. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And there wasn't a lot of noise and fanfare, but there was something absolutely thrilling that took place in the depths of my heart and mind and spirit. I sensed the smile of God for the first time. I shed tears of joy for the first time. I knew that I had come home.
Wow.
That night when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior at the age of 19. I was in the military. I, at the time, serving at Fort Sam Houston, Texas, in San Antonio, Texas. But that was the point of conversion for me. And again, what a wonderful, thrilling moment it was. I will never, ever forget it for all eternity. But it was a journey for me to get there. And it began in my childhood with my mother, who taught me how to pray, and who took me to church as a little boy, read Bible stories to me from time to time. So I was under conviction for years, but I never heard the gospel explained to me in a way that was clear, that made sense to me. No one ever explained to me that I couldn't save myself, that I couldn't reform myself. No one ever told me that I had to receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, that He died on a cross for me for all of my sins, and that He was the bridge between God and myself. And the cross is that bridge. And if I trusted Him as my Lord and Savior, He would rescue me from sin and judgment for all eternity. And but when I was 19 years old, that was when I trusted Jesus, and I am so deeply thankful to the Lord for saving me.
If I remember, what a beautiful story, Dr. Neely. If I remember right in your book, I think your mama had where she said, "Kneel down with me, son. I want to teach you how to pray." Am I remembering that right, or something along those lines?
That's correct.
That's an amazing, beautiful picture. I love that. I just come kneel down with me, son. I want to teach you how to pray. I think that's just beautiful.
Sure.
And you know what else I appreciated that you wrote in this book about overcoming worry is that you had given your mom and your grandma reason to worry, you know, and you maybe were the object or subject of their prayers for some time, and you really understood the fullness of that when you finally became a parent. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Well, yes. You know, when I look back at my life as a teenager, I don't even recognize that person that I was. And, you know, it was just really, my grandmother didn't think I was going to live to be 25 years old.
Wow.
No, she didn't think I was going to live to be 25 years old. And I was just getting into trouble and not thinking clearly, incredibly immature, and entitled, with a sense of entitlement. Even I'm 62 years old, but you know, I'm growing up on the south side of Chicago in a middle class community with both parents at home, with a profound sense of entitlement, and having no idea about the struggles and the hard work and sacrifice that my parents made in order to provide the kind of home and upbringing they did for me. And I took it for granted, and I made a lot of bad decisions. It was only by the grace of God that I got through. I remember I left home once when I was 17 years old because I came in late. Well, I stayed out too late beyond curfew, so I decided not to go home and decided I was going to stay at my girlfriend's house. And my mother came over to my girlfriend's house to get me, and I refused to go home. And I still saw, and then my mother started to sob, and so she goes back home later. She sends another relative to come and get me. And he looks at me and says, "Are you ready to go?" I says, "Yes, I'm ready to go." And then when I got home that night, my mother looked at me next to my dad. So she says, "Winfred, if you're going to come back in this house, you're going to have to ask for permission to come back home, son." And I said, "May I have permission to come back home?" And she said, "Yes, you may come back home. And by the way, take that silly-looking hat off your head."
Wow.
Yeah.
I love your mom.
Yeah, she was great, too. She was some woman raised in rural Mississippi.
Mm.
And with a lot of those rural Southern Christian values that have been passed on for generations, and
wow.
And I was really thankful for her.
Wow.
But then you have your own children, and then begin to worry about them, and
it all comes
helps.
Back around, doesn't it?
It does come back around.
Mm-hmm. We're going to pause here, Dr. Neely, taking a break, talking to Dr. Winfred Neely. His book is How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. When we come back, Dr. Neely will make the distinction between worry and concern. And how do we truly overcome worry? Great conversation up ahead. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a great day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of The Promise, talking to Dr. Winfred Neely. His book is titled How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. And that is straight from Scripture. In fact, Scripture calls us to let peace rule and reign in our hearts. So I'd love, Dr. Neely, for you to make that distinction between worry and concern.
Yes. Sometimes I think if we read Scripture, be anxious for nothing, that if we're not careful, we can misread that text to understand that we are not to be concerned.
Mm.
And that certainly is not the case, because the English word, well, the Greek word is translated by anxious in Philippians 4:6. Is also translated by concerned in Philippians 2:20, where Paul says in describing Timothy, "I have no one of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare." So it's the same term, but and the translators rightly understood that it should be translated concerned in that context, because we should care. Susie, we should be concerned. If we're having financial struggles, we don't have to worry about that, but we do need to be concerned. If our children are not well, we don't have to worry about that, but we need to be concerned about that. So God's people, as Christians, we are to care. We are to be deeply, deeply concerned. And healthy care and concern is one of the hallmarks of healthy church life. Whereas worry, on the other hand, is concern that is separated from the grace, power, love, and wisdom of God. It's concern that we address in our own strength. It's concern that that we handle by thinking that we are facing life alone, that we're dealing with all of our problems alone, and that we literally have to solve problems in our own strength, under our own steam, without the help, grace, and wisdom of God. And this is what the text means when it says, be anxious for nothing. Now, he's not telling us that we should not be concerned, but he is saying that there isn't anything in life for which we are to worry.
And it sure seems, Dr. Neely, that that's such a fine line. I mean, how easy it is to cross over that line of concern to burden, to worry, to catastrophizing. How do you stay off the rumble strips, so to speak? How do you stay on the road and so you don't go into the ditch in your mind, especially around things that are very dear to your heart?
Daily. It's a daily battle, Susie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a daily battle. I have to resist anxiety. Not, I won't say every day, but frequently. I have to resist the anxiety. I was in the UK for a month, got back here on Monday, and I was on an international flight from Dublin to Chicago and in an airplane crossing the Atlantic Ocean at 500 miles per hour. So, you know, you do everything that you can, okay? We know that the plane is safe. We've gone through all kinds of security. They have done due diligence. I have prayed, and I'm concerned, but I'm committed. I'm not going to worry about this, you know. And I enjoy the flight, and I'm back home, and I thank God for that, you know. But it's, you know, I was telling someone the other day that I was something had happened that very morning where I found myself, I was worried. And I thought, okay, I'm worried. I have to stop. And so I don't think we will ever be exempt from the experience of worry in one way, shape, form, or fashion this side of heaven. It is a part of the human condition. But I do think that we can conquer it. Well, the scripture says that we can conquer it. We can overcome it by dealing with it biblically. And I think that's what I have to remind myself of every day.
Hmm. When you reference in your book, Gary Collins, who wrote the book Christian Counseling, we've got about four minutes to our hard break at the bottom, but I'm going to read this and just have you speak to it. Gary writes, worry comes when we turn from God. We shift the burdens of life onto ourselves and assume, at least by our attitude and actions, that we alone are responsible for handling problems, instead of acknowledging God's sovereignty and power or seeking His kingdom and righteousness first. Many of us slip into sinful self-reliance and preoccupation with our own life pressures. It's like that's that rumble strip thing. We slip into this whole self-reliance, preoccupation with our own life's pressures. And I like that he says it's sinful, because it really is a place where we start to become in the flesh, so to speak. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, we slip into sinful self-reliance, you know, when we turn from God. And it's very, very subtle. I don't think we're intending to turn from God, Susie, but that's pretty much what happens. We turn from God, and our priorities are out of sync, because instead of seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, we slip into sinful self-reliance, trusting in our own strength and power, and the problem now becomes an obsession. It becomes a defining factor in the person's life. And that's what God tells us not to do. He tells us not to worry about anything.
I remember when I've shared this story in the show before about when I was a young mom and battling Lyme disease terribly, and lots of finance issues around that, medical debt. And so I had a lot of legitimate reasons to fear. I mean, lots going on. My life was upended. And I remember I was overcome by fear and worry. I remember the Lord just whispered to my heart, Susie, that fear/worry and faith, they're opposing forces. You have to turn your back on one to behold the other. And it was like this word picture for me. And I thought, you know, I have lots of reasons to fear, but according to Scripture, I've got more reasons for faith. And standing up and turning my back on the worry and the fear, not concern, as you say, not giving up on the concern, but saying, I'm turning my back on this, so I'm going to behold your promises. I mean, it changed something in my own heart. I could tell that I'd shifted my weight onto the promises of God. I mean, it really is true, isn't it, that these two things, it's like you almost have to turn your back on one to behold the other.
Absolutely, and that's a part of the growth process, isn't it? That's a part. This is sanctification. This is practical Christian living. This is becoming more like Jesus as we navigate the choppy waters of life in a fallen world. Yeah, it's a growth process, and it's an expression of growth. The Lord wants us to trust Him and entrust our anxieties to Him, and so He is deeply concerned about us and our progress and our growth in life, and will allow us to go through difficulties and have experience these challenges, and in the process He shows us that we can trust Him in every life situation and find the wisdom that it takes to negotiate life biblically and to find strength and peace in the process and come out healthier people on the other side.
You know, sometimes it seems like sparring practice. It's like there's, you know, He allows certain things to teach us. Mm-hmm. It's almost like wax on, wax off. I mean, we sometimes have to go through similar things again and again until we learn how to rise up and stand in faith and how to use the weapons of our warfare, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I do. I think so. And interestingly enough, I think every season of life also is going to bring with it its various challenges, Susie. Mm-hmm. Every season of life will bring with it its various challenges. And in those challenges, we have to learn to trust God in a fresh and new way for that particular problem.
And the amazing thing about that in those challenges is He's already gone ahead of us. He's left some grace there for us, mercy there, peace there. And peace is ours for the taking. We can take hold of peace. So we're going to talk when we come back about how to actually let peace rule and reign. What does that even mean? Talking to Dr. Winfred Neely, title of his book, How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. Email if you'd like in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. Having a few technical issues behind the scenes. Glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. Talking to Dr. Winfred Neely today. The title of his book is How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. And Dr. Neely, I'd love for you to just unpack, as just a Bible scholar, the passage it talks about, let peace rule and reign in your hearts. Love to have you speak to that one.
Yes, that's Colossians, where it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And the thought is that the Spirit of God, when we walk with God based on His Word, take God by faith at His Word, the Spirit of God fills us with peace. And when the text says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, the idea is do not let anything come into your life to disturb the peace of God. That's we can allow things to come into our life to disturb the peace of God. Now, of course, this is going to require discernment. God will never, ever tell us to do anything that is contrary to His Word. But if there's something that is coming into my life that is actually disturbing the peace of God that's been granted in my heart by the Spirit of God, well, then we need to take a look at that and discern what it is that's disturbing the peace, because if the peace of God is being disturbed in our lives, this is a warning to us. We need to ask ourselves what it is and make a determination that we're not going to let our lack of faith, or in the context of Colossians, which is more relationships within the church, and allow you know, unhealthy relationships with others to come in and grieve the Spirit of God and consequently disturb the peace in my heart and mind.
I don't know about you, but for me, it sure helps to retrace my steps and try to figure out where I went awry. So when I suddenly notice the peace has been disturbed, most times if I just retrace and go, okay, when did I start feeling this way? It's because a thought has gone rogue. I saw something, heard something, or just imagined something, and I almost have to go. It's like a piece of broken down wall. I've got to go shore myself back up again, remind myself what's true. How do you deal with just disturbances of the peace in your heart?
I have found spending time in the Word helps me considerably.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a block of time, I try to spend time in the Word. I was going through an intense struggle with, I didn't have, my peace had been disturbed, and I just had a block of time where I was able to read the scripture, and I read the book of Jude about 5 or 6 times in a row, and by the time I was done with it, my peace had was established again. Now, on the other hand, if a person is not allowed to do that, I do think vigorous thinking about the scripture is also helpful. To get a text of scripture, a verse of scripture, and to think about it and to ponder it throughout the day is another way of the Spirit of God reestablishing our peace based on the Word of God. And I really do. But the Word of God is powerful. It's living. And if we read the scriptures, if we're prayerful, and we're thinking vigorously about the Word, even as we go throughout the day and have other things that we have to do, this is one of the ways that we can find peace. And again, I think our thought, it's interesting, our thought process has a lot to do with it. So we have to train ourselves to think biblically, to assess all of life biblically. And, you know, I don't allow my subjective feelings to get in the way. I stopped doing that a long time ago. So I don't base major life decisions on how I feel. I base my decisions on the Word of God. And I have found that when I do that, the Spirit of God releases peace in my heart and mind and life.
Yeah, another thing you say in the book and How to Overcome Worry, you say that when we're in the midst of those anxiety-induced storms, that we should actually figure out what we need and then take those needs to the Lord. So once again, it's like in the swirling of the storm, to find your footing and really maybe give a name to it or identify what is it that I actually need. Because if we can't even identify that, Dr. Neely, it's like we're upended by the storm, but we don't need to be because we've got His great and precious promises. So say more about what that looks like, to figure out what you need and then take it to the Lord.
Well, one of the things I encourage people to do is journal. I believe in journaling as a devotional way to think matters through before the Lord. Now, journaling will serve other purposes too, but certainly I'm a firm believer in writing in order to think, not necessarily thinking in order to write, but writing in order to think myself clear before the Lord about what it is that's troubling me, and based upon the Word of God, within the context of the Word of God, what would be an appropriate God-honoring request that I can make within the confines of within the boundaries of Scripture. And so we need to we think through what we need before God. The Lord is not going to come down from heaven and do that for us. He wants us to do that. And so we just, you know, we journal and think it through. Lord, I need this or I need that. Or I have a wayward child that's going astray. Would you please work in his or her life? Would you please keep them from making decisions that will ruin the rest of their lives? And, you know, so forth and so on. So that's another way to do it. I also think, having close friends in my life. Interesting, when Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. While those verses have application to the individual, they are actually given to the community, because a community can slip into worry, and the community needs to pray. And I have discovered that when I talk withdrew some of my concerns with other believers in Christ, they can help me sort out, you know, what the specifics I need to ask God for. And they might say, well, you know, you might want to consider praying about this. What do you think? I think that's a great idea. Well, let's pray together. And that's another way where we can, you know, get our thinking so clear enough so that we can ask God for specific requests, expecting him to answer in his own way and according to his own will.
And you even write about that power of expectancy, that we pray to a God who moves on our faith and he cares about our circumstances. And often, Dr. Neely, I think we lose heart when he doesn't answer the way we want him to. So we kind of create an outcome that, you know, he needs to hit somehow as if we can dictate to him. And when he doesn't do that, we interpret that as uninvolvement. But he's very much involved, very much taken with our story. And as you say in the book, we can't lose our sense of expectancy. Otherwise, we'll lose our sense of, electricity in prayer and just the invitation to commune with God, to talk with him and involve him in our circumstances. Say more if you would.
Well, you know, God, the Lord knows what he is doing. And he wants us to pray because he wants us to trust him. And when God answers prayer, the Lord answers prayer, he's our Father. He cares deeply about us. But, you know, like any good parent, God doesn't always grant us every request. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait a while. Now, here is an example. Years ago, I wanted to go to Moody Bible Institute as an undergraduate student. I did. And I sent in my application to Moody, and the application came back in the mail, and I was all gung-ho, and I got a letter of rejection. Moody Bible Institute told me no. Now, this was years ago. And I wound up going to another Bible college. But that changed the trajectory of my life. God had another plan. Had I gone to Moody, now one of the interesting, what is interesting that now I'm a professor at the school that did not accept me as a graduate student. I'm teaching at the school now today, and I want to get across to people that when God says no, it's not the end of the world. It means that he has a better plan. He's got a better plan. It's not that he doesn't care. When he says no, ask him. Okay, you said no, obviously, because this is not working, or either you're having me wait and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. But this is what I would say to him. Okay, if you want me to wait, would you please show me the lessons you want me to learn in the waiting process? If you're saying no, would you let me know in your own time what your plan is? I know that you have a plan. And one of the problems is that we have not been taught to have these kind of honest, open conversations with God. The psalmists teach us to be honest with God. And we need to have a conversation with him. If he says no, we're disappointed, we need to tell him, Lord, I'm disappointed that you said no. I'm a bit confused that you said no. I don't understand why you said no, but I'm going to trust you anyway, and I thank you that you have a better plan, and I entrust my life to you. And I think it's having these kind of honest, prayerful conversations with God where we actually start to grow, because he's a person. He's just not some kind of a computer, an impersonal computer that's running the universe. He's a triune God, and he's personal, and he wants to have a relationship with us. And in the process of this, we get to know him a whole lot better, and we come out as better men and women on the other side of these things. And we are always, you know, when he says no, he gives us grace to deal with it. You know, Paul says, when he had the thorn in the flesh, three times I sought the Lord about this, and he told me, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So that God tells Paul no, but he gives him the grace and the wisdom and the power to deal with the thorn so that God's power is manifested and expressed in his weakness, and God does the same thing for us today.
That's such an important point, Dr. Neely. Oftentimes when we get a no or a not yet, I think we kind of slouch, we sit down, we get disappointed, and we stop the conversation from there, so disappointed in the outcome. But there's other provision for us in the no and in the not yet. So it arrives back up, and as you say, engage with God and speak to my heart about this. And if I'm getting a no on this answer, I know there'll always be a yes to your peace, and there always will be a yes to your grace when I'm in the center of your will. Show me what that looks like and give me a right perspective. He loves to answer those kinds of prayers. And so if you're in a place where you're getting a not yet or a no from God, don't stop there with your conversation. Rise up and wrestle with this a little bit and seek the peace of God. That's what the Bible says. Seek his peace and pursue it. Talking to Dr. Winfred Neely, his book is How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. I want you to think about the early church, first century church. If anybody had a reason to worry, it was them. Go out with really relatively no finances, no credibility just yet, and change the world. Imagine that. We're going to talk about really what God has equipped us for, and we've got reasons to have faith and reasons not to worry. Talking to Dr. Winfred Neely. More with him when we return. Hope you're having a great day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Winfred Neely. He wrote the book, How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. And if you're someone given to worry, you're not alone, first of all. Email, if you'd like, in on the drawing, susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that mailing address. So, Dr. Neely, this is something that jumped out at me in the book. You reference J.B. Phillips, who wrote a preface to the book of Acts. And what he says here is, it was so good talking about just the early church. And I just love to read it and have you speak to it, because we look at what they were up against and how God provided, and God literally changed the world through them. You know, our struggles are not unique to us completely. But anyway, this is what J.B. Phillips writes. It is impossible to spend several months in close study of this remarkable short book. He's talking about the book of Acts without being profoundly stirred. And to be honest, disturbed. The reader is disturbed because he is seeing Christianity, the real thing, in action for the first time in human history. The newborn church, as vulnerable as any human child, having neither money, influence, nor power in the ordinary sense, is setting forth joyfully and courageously to win the pagan world for Christ. Yet we cannot help feeling disturbed as well as moved, for this is surely the church as it was meant to be. It is vigorous. It's flexible. These men did not say their prayers. They really prayed. But if they were uncomplicated and naive by modern standards, we have to admit that they were open on the Godward side in a way that is almost unknown today. So powerful. I'd love for you just to speak to that insight and why you include it in the book.
Well, I thought it was, that the statement was a very powerful summary of the book of Acts. It also points out the power of prayer in the life of the early church. The spirit-empowered group of men and women who were so mightily used of God. And he also notes that it's rarely heard of today, and that's a whole other topic. But I thought it was important to put that in and to remind us that God has not changed. What he did through the believers in the Book of Acts, he can do through us today. This is one of the reasons why we have the Book of Acts on record. But I mean, you think of just what God did. Even on the day of Pentecost, where men and women heard the gospel in their mother tongues, and God speaks my language, the language of that I learned in my home and my household and my my heart language, and they're hearing the gospel in these various languages. And you think about Peter, who actually went into the home of Cornelius and shared the gospel. And then just think about him. He goes into this private Gentile space, which was unheard of for a Jewish person in the first century, and shares the gospel. And there was another Pentecost of sorts. And and so would to God that we would have something, a revisiting, something comparable to that in our own day. And I think it's possible. And I think we do need to ask God to give us an openness to him, an openness to the Spirit of God based on the Word of God, so that we demonstrate to a fallen world that it's possible to live a life of peace in a world of chaos.
Mm. You think about their world and the opposition that they face. We, again, can tend to think, you know, that never has the world been in the shape that it is now, and that's definitely true to some degree. But there was great opposition to the faith back then as well. And somehow, some way, the words that came inspired by God to us as the Holy Scripture tells us to do not worry, to let peace rule and reign. And it doesn't mean, you know, to have a situation where all your ducks line up in a row, so to speak, so you don't have reasons to worry. It's in the face of opposition and battle, we can find a peace that surpasses understanding. That's a supernatural proposition, isn't it?
It is a very supernatural proposition. And again, you think about the book of Acts and Acts chapter 12, the circumstances are grim, frankly. James was executed by Herod, and they were intending to execute Peter, and on the eve of his execution, Peter was asleep between two soldiers. And, you know, I've often wondered about that. How in the world is this man able to sleep when they're getting ready to take his life the next day? But he knew something that they didn't know. And he had peace in the midst of all that. Of course, the angels come in there and wake Peter up and deliver him. But we do see, and even in that story itself, a man who was trusting God in the midst of very difficult circumstances and was able to go to sleep. And the big lesson is, it seems to me that one of the indicators that we have peace, frankly, is the fact that we can get on our knees at night, leave our concerns and anxieties with God, and get a good night's rest.
Hmm.
And I think that's a big, big, powerful testimony.
Well, Jesus sleeping in the storm, you know, I mean, he's such an example of. Just have a couple minutes left. I'd love for you to just make the case for eternity, too, Dr. Neely, because, again, when we try to control our circumstances, or when we live like this is all there is, we lose sight of eternity. I think we lose perspective rather fast.
We sure do. We are more than chemicals.
Hmm.
We are more than chemical reactions. Human life is more than the sum of our physicality. We are created in the image of God, and we live in time, but we are meant for eternity, and we have to deal with both of those. And the only way to deal with both of those is to trust Christ as one's personal Lord and Savior. Believe that he died on the cross for you. Trust him as your personal Lord and Savior. By faith, he gives you the gift of eternal life. The Spirit of God begins to live within you. You base your life on the Word of God, and that's how the journey begins. And it's absolutely wonderful to walk with God and to know that even though we live in a fallen world, even though this world has its problems, and there are a lot of them, but still, even in the midst of this fallen world, we can experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, provided that we trust God and take all of our requests to him in prayer and refuse to give in or yield to or allow our lives to be dominated by anxiety.
Well, I'm going to read one last excerpt from your book, and then I'd love for you to pray for that person listening today, Dr. Neely, that struggles. And this is what you write. As God's children pray to their Heavenly Father and have the Spirit-empowered audacity to take God at his word, God will respond, and he will grant peace. As the Lord filled the tabernacle of old with a cloud of his glory, so the Lord will fill the tabernacle of your heart with a cloud of his peace in response to prayer throughout your journey in the desert of anxiety. As we wrap here, Dr. Neely, wondering if you'd pray for that person listening today who wants so much to be free from that kind of anxiety. Will you pray?
Father, we thank you and pray for your anxious children today. You tell us in your word to not to worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let our requests be made known to you. And you have promised in your word to give us peace. You did not promise to resolve our problems. You can do that. We know that you can, but that's not what you promise in this text. You promise peace. And I pray, oh God, that every person that's listening to this radio broadcast will know the peace which passes understanding because they've trusted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they are taking you, O God, at your word, and they are committing their anxieties to you. Would you be with them, and may they know your peace and presence and power today in the almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Neely, thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks for all that you do.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Title of his book, again, is How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember, when you're on the website, to sign up for the Choose Joy devotional. We'll be giving away two copies of that by Kay Warren every week this month. So if you are someone who maybe struggles with anxiety, worry, fear, doubt, that kind of thing, we would love to get a copy into your hands. Just hop on the website, myfaithradio.com. Also, we'd love to join the prayer initiative. We're going to get lots of people praying, especially this Sunday for our nation. You can sign up and receive emails for that as well. MyFaithRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll meet you back here next time.